Yeah, we have. We're delighted to be here. This is Thursday, February 17th, 2022. This is our third Thursday of the month, World Peace Diet Circle Zoom call for everyone who would like to participate, who has gone through our training or is a member of the World Peace Diet Circle. And so it's just a closed group here, and we're in Naples, Florida. We just gave a lecture a few days ago here at a Veg Fest, and we've got one coming up in a couple of days just north of here, just by Tampa and St. Petersburg. So we're traveling, and we're, like I said earlier, we're in our little micro van, which is delightful, but it's really hot, I'll tell you that, down here in South Florida. It's pretty hot here. And I'm in the parking lot of this wonderful store. We think it's great. It's called Food and Thought. It's they sell only organic food. However, it could be better. Could be vegan. It's not totally vegan, but it's all organic at least. And so we went there to have some dinner, which we did. They have some nice organic vegan selection, salads and sweet potatoes and rice and vegetables and so forth. But it was so neat because they were having this big meeting. There's a sort of outdoor picnic area right next door. It's covered. It's very nice. It's big and has a sound system and a stage. And they're having a Patriots meeting. So it was called Part-Time Patriots, and they were, I guess on every Thursday night they have a meeting and they talk about how to liberate Collier County, which is Naples here, Naples and Bonita Springs, Southwest Florida, from mask mandates and so forth. So it was very interesting to hear the talk while we were having our dinner and questions and things. So anyway, that's the situation where we are, and if my audio goes out, just let me know. You can write, you can speak to me in the chat, and I'll try to keep my eye on that. So normally we begin with a meditation. I'm wondering if I should maybe mute the video for this, but I'm going to try. I'm hoping we have enough bandwidth to just do this. We're doing this whole thing through my cell phone, believe it or not. So feel free, if you'd like to leave your camera running, you can, or if you'd like to turn it off for the meditation, and then we'll go ahead and jump into the main part of the meeting. So welcome everyone, thanks for joining us, and yes, let's go ahead and get started with our meditation time, because it's great, I think, to just take this opportunity to connect more deeply with our own inner resources. So, just breathing together. I'm closing my eyes here, and I will check the screen now and then if there are any urgent messages. Let me know. And please keep your microphones muted, everyone. That would be helpful. And let's see here. Yeah, we got everything. That's good. All right, so we're abiding in the true nature of consciousness. We're abiding in peace and harmony. We're abiding in the true home of compassion and kindness for all expressions of life. We're abiding in a feeling of joy that needs no reasons in the outer world. The joy of awareness. The joy of being alive, functioning and learning and growing, contributing, sharing, discovering, adventuring, creating. So we give thanks for the joy that is always bubbling in our heart like a little spring of fresh water. And we give thanks also for the web of relationships in which we are embedded. So let's take a moment and just feel into this web of relations. So we think first of all of our parents, and we send our love and appreciation to our parents, and we send our love and appreciation to the parents of our parents, and we send our love and appreciation, gratitude to their parents as well. Thinking of our ancestors going back wherever they were, in the United States or in other countries, and giving thanks for the whole lineage of life, the lineage of caring, the lineage of yearning to awaken and to experience the fullness of life and freedom that has come down into our heart and into every cell of our physical body and into our being. And we know that this lineage, as we go back to our great, 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 great grandparents and beyond, as we go back, we connect eventually to the source, the one life living through all of us, through all human beings, that we are all related and connected. And going further back, we know our connection with all living beings, the whole web of life here. We have one source. So we give thanks for our infinitely interconnected power of oneness and unity with the web of life on planet Earth and the web of life that extends even beyond this Earth to many other dimensions that we are embedded in, a vast universe of becoming. So if we continue breathing and with every exhalation we relax more fully into this present moment, savoring this moment that we have here together, giving thanks for everyone who is caring about their activism and their consciousness and this community enough to take time out of their busy schedule to be with us here. So we give thanks to each and every one of us who are here and who have made time to be here, to remember the most important dimension of our life, our life which is dedicated to vegan living, is dedicated to spiritual awakening, which is dedicated to healing, not only our physical bodies, but healing psychologically and spiritually, healing our society, healing the earth, and healing all living beings and the relationships here. So just breathing and letting go into this present moment, savoring the wonder that there are actually others who feel very similarly to the way we feel, who care deeply about spiritual awakening, and who care deeply about contributing to the healing of our world. So we give thanks to all of our ancestors for their contribution to our life, and beyond just our parents and grandparents, to all of our relations, any brothers and sisters and cousins, and beyond that to all our friends and colleagues, and all the people who are working in the movement for liberation of human beings, the liberation of non-human animals, liberation of ecosystems. Know that we are all learning from each other and contributing and cooperating together in a great work. We have a purpose, and we give thanks for this purpose. We give thanks for the cause and the quest and the aspiration that is bursting in every cell of our being. The knowledge that we have a purpose for this lifetime. So we tune into our intuition, tune into our inner wisdom, giving thanks for the inner guidance system that we have. It guides us every day to fulfill and unfold our unique life, to provide the inspiration through thoughts and feelings and images that we write and contemplate and speak about, draw, paint, make music, create from these inspirations. So we give thanks for this inner wisdom that is always guiding us to fulfill our purpose. And now we open to this purpose, getting a feeling for it, perhaps a few words or an image. What is our purpose for this lifetime, right now? We ask that question and we get a feeling. We get perhaps a short statement or an understanding. The purpose that we have for this life. Perhaps there are several levels. So we hold that purpose as a sacred gift that we have been given, and a sacred gift that we give also to others and to the world through our lifetime, through every day that we have here. We share and we do our best to contribute our purpose and our gift, the unique piece of the puzzle that we have. We continue to breathe and give thanks for the inner wisdom that guides us to fulfill our purpose. And we give thanks for the abundance in our life, knowing that abundance is manifesting all the time in a variety of ways. That whatever we need to fulfill our mission and purpose is always provided. And that our inner wisdom opens doorways to fulfill the abundance of ideas, of relationships, of supply for any project or activity that we feel is for the highest good of everyone. So we abide in this feeling of gratitude and appreciation for the abundance of life and love and beauty in our life, beautiful abundance of time that we have, the great gift of time to see and to smell and to listen to the beauty of animals and nature, of human beings, to learn, to read, to grow, to understand, to study, to contemplate, to meditate, to cultivate our spiritual path, this great resource of time. And we give thanks for the consciousness, the awareness that is always shining through this physical body, the unique being that we are. And now finally we connect with the animals of this earth, all of the animals who are living freely. We send them our love and appreciation, the birds flying through the forests and trees and over the oceans, all the marine animals in the waters of the earth, all the insects flying around and doing their jobs, all the mammals, amphibians and reptiles and all the other land animals, celebrating their lives here, this whole infinite abundance. And then all of the animals who have been born into human slavery, slavery at the hands of humans for food, for research, for products, for clothing, for entertainment. We especially send our appreciation to them and our wish for forgiveness, for humanity, asleep, lost in delusion, lost in the illusion of separateness and fear, superiority and shame, that we imprison and oppress these other beings. Send especially our love to all of the cows and pigs and chickens, turkeys, all the beings who are abused for food by the billions, the fishes, in the factory farms as well as in the oceans and lakes. This tremendous celebration of life. And we now see all of these animals freed. We see and we celebrate and we give thanks for the liberation of all living beings. We see humanity liberated from ignorance, the false sense of disconnectedness from nature. We see the animals liberated from human oppression. We see the earth bathed in the light of peace and harmony and joy and abundance. And so let's just join together now in our hearts with our closing meditation on the four Viharas, the four abodes of our true nature. So with every breath, we inhale and then exhale love, breathing and radiating love and kindness in all directions. Breathing and radiating and abiding in loving kindness and radiating this in all directions for all living beings. We send forth benevolence and the wish that may all beings be happy with every breath. The first abode is loving kindness. The second abode is compassion. So with every breath we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion, and we exhale and radiate compassion. In all directions, may all beings be free from suffering, free from all of the causes of suffering. May we always act to help relieve the suffering of others and do our best. Great compassion. which encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. It lives in our heart, breathing and radiating compassion. The third vihara is joy. So with every breath we engender in our heart the feeling of joy, and the joy that we feel in the joy of others, the great unselfish joy of celebrating in solidarity together. And as we exhale, we radiate joy in all directions. May all beings be blessed with joy. May all beings connect with the true nature of the light shining at the core of their being of joy, abiding in our true home of joy. And now finally, we connect with the fourth vihara, which is peace or equanimity. With every breath, we invoke in our heart the feeling of harmony and peace. And with every exhalation, we radiate peace and harmony in all directions, knowing that we are always established on the ocean of glass, the ocean of peace. And we give thanks knowing that whatever the outer world may show, that at a deeper level, there is always peace in the world. On the surface of the ocean, there may be waves, but down below, it's very calm. The true nature of the interconnectedness of all living beings is the foundation of peace, where we dwell in love and harmony and respect with each other always. Whatever the shallow waves of delusion may swirl around us in their activity, we know that at a deeper level, we have love, compassion, joy, and peace, always at the very core of our being, at the core of all being, at the core of life on this earth and all life in the universe, the great benevolent source of all life, shines forth through us and through every thought, word, and deed. And so as we bring our meditation now to a close, we breathe again together, radiating love, radiating compassion, radiating joy, and radiating peace in all directions. We give thanks knowing that our inner resources of loving kindness and peace, of wisdom, creativity, of freedom and abundance are activated in our life for the benefit of all living beings of the past, present, and future. And we give thanks knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity on the earth at this time. That as we go through the challenges we are facing, there is always an ever-present opportunity to co-create a positive transformation for our children and our grandchildren and those who will come after us. As we speak our truth, live our truth, and express the unique message that we are here to share. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace. And may we continue to build together a more enlightened society that cares for everyone. Give thanks knowing that this is so, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. That is the meditation time. I appreciate you all contributing your awareness and your presence to our time together. And so, let's see. I wanted to say a few things and then open it up, of course, to your questions. The way that you can ask a question or make a comment is by pressing star 6, I believe, on your phone, or if you're on the computer, you can raise your hand somehow. I think there's a way. What's the way we do that? I think you go down to reactions. Down at the bottom, click on reactions. You can do that. Yeah. And then you can also unmute yourself and just start talking. I guess that's another option. So just don't be bashful. If you have something you'd like to share, this is a good chance. So, of course, we have a lot happening in the world. And we see a lot of positive developments over the, from my point of view anyway, over the last couple of weeks with the truckers in Canada. And of course the vegan movement is continuing every day, I think, to grow in the world. And we've been able to participate in some veg fests here in Florida. The last time we really talked was 2 weeks ago on the first Thursday, where we have our World Peace Meditation Satsang. And then, of course, a month ago on the third Thursday of January was the last gathering we've had together. So in that time, just from our point of view here, we've been able to give some events and lecture at a vegan restaurant in Miami, a workshop there actually, on connecting the title of it was The Art of Healthy Vegan Living. And so the whole idea, it's, there's a lot to talk about, but being healthy as a vegan, the most important thing, of course, is eating a vegan way of eating is a fantastic foundation for health. But that's just the very tip of the iceberg, and there's a lot more to it. So we talked about, and I can go into that if you're interested, but we talked about other dimensions like organic and whole foods and the way we're eating, the consciousness of our preparing of the food and while we're eating the food, and we talked about where the food comes from and if we can grow it ourselves or get it locally. And we talked also about the type of cookware that we're using. A lot of people are chronically sick just because of a lot of the metals, sometimes in the pans that they're using. And then we talked about the spiritual dimension and exercise and sleep and relationships and having a purpose in life. I mean, there's a whole lot to being healthy. A lot of people think, well, if you're a vegan, then you've got to be healthy. And if you're not healthy, then you must not be eating properly. But health is very complex, and there's a huge variety of factors that go into it, and past memories and traumas from childhood, and perhaps unforgiven things that happened in our relationships, stress, all these things. So anyway, that was something we did in Miami. We also went down to the Keys for a few days and visited some friends, went to Key West, and it was kind of interesting. On one day, we were on a key called Bahia Honda, and we were just there, and this fellow drove in. It was kind of surreal, you know. He drove in the most amazing rig, I guess you call it. It was a Toyota pickup truck that had a gigantic camper on top of the bed of the pickup truck. Then on top of that, there was another camper shell. And then he had all these plants. I mean, it looked like a garden. The whole thing, he must have had about 30 or 40 flowering plants in the back. Some of them were cactuses, some of them were like tomatoes and vegetables. This thing came in. And it was like everybody just stopped and stitched. It was so high. It was this little Toyota truck, but it must have been, I don't know, 15 or 20 feet high. It was like totally ridiculous. And he parked over in a certain place, you know, near us, and we were in a little microvan, and this guy got out, and he was walking with his friend, a woman. I guess they were traveling in it together, and he was kind of humming a tune. And he saw us, and he saw our van, and he said, "Oh, that's a neat van. And you're from California. Where are you from?" And then he said, I couldn't believe it. And then he said, "Are you from Hidden Valley Lake?" Which is like impossible. I mean, Hidden Valley Lake is this little tiny, tiny, tiny little town where we live in California that no one's ever heard of. So I never ever say where we're from. I just say, well, you know, we're from Northern California. And he just says, "Are you from Hidden Valley Lake?" I mean, I couldn't, it was like a moment of like, this guy must be a sage or something. Anyway, I said, as a matter of fact, yeah, we are, but how did you know that? And he said, "I don't know, I was just in Hidden Valley Lake, you know, before I drove to Florida." I said, "Really? Well, we just drove here from Hidden Valley Lake too." It's this little town about an hour northeast of Santa Rosa in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, it turned out he just said that because he's a house painter. He makes some of his money just painting houses, and he's based in Lake Tahoe. But right before, he met some woman somehow, and she lived in Hidden Valley Lake, and so he was there for the month of October, November, painting her gigantic house in Hidden Valley Lake on the lake. And so he did that, and then he came out. So it just came out of his mouth. But anyway, it turned out he's a vegan. On top of it, he was a vegan, so he was all excited about that, and we were too, so we had a wonderful meeting. And then a few minutes later, this couple drove up on their bicycles, and they were from Seattle, and they had ridden their bicycles, and they had these little tiny wheeled bicycles. The wheels on the bicycles were about 14 inches. You know those little tiny, those bicycles that you can fold up and like put into your luggage? They had those little kind of bikes, those little small bikes. They had ridden their bikes from Seattle, these little bikes, from Seattle all the way to Mount Katahdin in Maine. And then they had ridden them all the way down to Key West. They were on their way to Key West. We were close to Key West, so they got there that very same day. And then they were going to continue, they were halfway, you know, it's a 14-month trip, they figured. They were 7 months, so then they were going to ride them all the way to San Diego and then all the way back up to Seattle. I mean, what an amazing thing. So we were with those people, and then there was this guy who was building this gigantic sandcastle. It was amazing. It's going to be there for like a year. He builds these beautiful sandcastles for the state park that show like trains, and because there's an old train bridge there, and with the train and shells and dolphins leaping through the waves. I mean, this massive, gigantic sandcastle. Then after he gets it done, it takes him about a week. He's really good. I mean, this guy's like the number one sandcastle builder in the world, I think. He makes his living. He has books out and pictures of all the sandcastles, but he does it as a volunteer. And then he sprays it with a mixture of Elmer's glue and water, so it lasts for about a year. And then he does it a new one every year. Anyway, so we were just like bathing in this creativity. It was really very interesting to see. But anyway, so. Yeah, going down to Key West was great. I mean, we love it down there. There was a guy, you know, if you go down to Mallory Square, everybody cheers for the sunset every night, and they have all these street artists down there. They still do it. It was wonderful. They had this guy from Canada who was doing handstands way up on the high on this, like, 15-foot high pole that people in the audience would hold up, and He was fantastic. I mean, he's getting everybody to be, work together and to, create kind of a group synergy. It was really great to see, actually. So there's a lot of good things happening, I think. You know, the spirit of human beings at its core, I think, is a spirit of wanting to celebrate, to create, to question authority, question, ways of living that are harmful. And then just, you know, being where we've been the last couple of days at a beach down in Naples. I think I told you last couple of months ago, maybe we had dinner at right after the Veg Fest in Bonita Springs, which is here basically in Naples here, Southwest Florida. Then let's see, it was me and Madeline, Joanne Farb. Some of you know Joanne Farb. She's a well-known vegan activist from Lawrence. She's here with her daughter Serena and her husband Joe. Ellen Jaffe Jones. Some of you know her. She wrote the book Go Vegan on $4 a Day. She wrote the book, a bunch of books, one on vegan sexuality, one on the kitchen divided if your husband or your partner, your wife, whatever, is not a vegan. Anyway, she was there. We all had dinner together and a bunch of other vegan activists at this amazing restaurant that we suggested we all go to called Seed to Table, which is like the hotbed of questioning the vaccine narrative, which I thought was so cool. And they actually have, it's not a vegan place, but they have a lot of organic, and they have a raw vegan organic menu there, actually. So we all ordered from the raw vegan organic menu, and they had a rock and roll band playing, and it was Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, it was like, the place was so packed with literally probably over 1,000 people. And anyway, it's really quite a place down here in Southwest Florida. We got here, like I said earlier, there's a lot more people here now, I'll just mention it again. We got here, we had our dinner, but they were having a big meeting here with a woman who was talking about how we can liberate our children from the mask mandates. And that's important, I think, really, for people. Like, people say, well, gosh, it's so great in Florida, there's not so many mask mandates and all that stuff, but part of it's, they have not only the governor, but the people are meeting. You know, they're meeting and they're electing people and they're rabble rousing and they're working for it too. I saw, I mean, I, you know, you don't just, there was just a big meeting. There was probably, you know, at least 100 people, just all there listening and speaking. There was a stage and, you know, an interview was going on, and it's like, this was just like, you know, an hour ago, right here in this, where I am in this parking lot in Naples in this store. So, anyway, it's been quite a ride here. We have with us on the call Judy Carman, and Judy is, as you all know, she's a longtime collaborator with us and co-conspirator. And you know what the word conspirator means? Conspiracy. Con, as you know, means together or with, and spirit means, it's the word breathe, word for breath. And so a conspiracy or a conspirator is someone who breathe together. So we're all conspirators. We're all breathing together here. And Judy's a longtime co-conspirator with us, and we thought it would be nice to talk with her a little bit about her new essay that she just wrote. And so, Judy, are you there?
I am.
You are? Hi. Oh, good. Hi, Judy. Oh, and Madeline is now just returning from the store. I think they close in a few minutes. And
we get to see her.
You may get to see her. Yeah, she's coming into our little tiny micro van. I mean, look at this. I can show you our van. This is it. It's like, can you see it? I don't know. There it is. This is the back. And this is the...
It's so beautiful.
This is it. I mean, yeah, you got to kind of be here to see it, I guess. But anyway, we...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see on the screen. But beautiful workmanship.
There we go. Anyway, I managed to get myself all tangled up doing that.
From both you and Madeline.
So we... Yeah, can you hear me? It's all wood and organic fabric, and it's tiny. It's only 7 feet long by 5 feet wide, and we live in this thing. We're living in it for 4 months. I mean, and it's only 3.5 feet high. Think of that, 3.5 feet. 3.5 feet high, 7 feet long, and 5 feet wide. That's what we're living in. But we go out a lot. We're out at the beach running around. And we took up juggling again, which is fun. We're juggling. So we have the two of us, like, we face each other. We juggle with 6 balls, 5 balls, different things. I mean, we're starting to get, we haven't attracted a big crowd yet, but maybe we will when we get better. So anyway, so Judy, Judy just wrote an article. I thought, she's, and I've been writing articles too, actually, on this subject for the last 2 years. Just trying to basically make the connection between freedom for all living beings. And one of the main ideas in the World Peace Diet, of course, is that veganism is honoring the individual, right? Individual animals, individual beings, honoring the sovereignty of individual beings and respecting them. It's quite different from, in some ways, from the environmental point of view, which sort of subsumes the individual within the group. You know, you might kill out, like they kill off individuals in order to have it better for the group. But really, veganism is about compassion for individuals and honoring individual beings. And so everything that we're seeing the last couple of years, and we've been seeing it really for decades, is undermining not only, obviously, the freedom of animals is completely destroyed, especially food, animals we see as food, but now we human beings, I think we see this happening, are becoming more and more like livestock as well. And so there's quite a few movements to try to take back our freedom or not lose that freedom. And of course, the important thing is to try to bring the vegan message into that. So Judy has just written an article, and she had it, I guess you have it published also right online. I think Vita Stram put it up a little bit there. And what's the main gist? Do you want to tell us the main idea there, Judy?
Yeah, sure. But first I want to tell everybody, you're not used to seeing me in glasses. These glasses are blue block glasses.
All right.
They make such a difference. It's amazing how my eyes just don't get tired now looking at a screen. So I was really surprised, but they work. So that's why I'm wearing them. So they're not corrected or anything. They just block the blue somehow. So yeah, so my article is called Truckers and Vegans for the Free, for a Free World. And, it's on my blog and it's on my Facebook, and so people can share it. But, Vita Stram with All Creatures has put it on her newsletter. And so hopefully it'll get passed around and shared. And my goal, with some other articles I've written, it has been to help vegans who are really frightened by all that's going on, wearing masks and really, kind of listening to the mainstream media and not hearing the other side of what's going on, which is just like almost polar opposite in terms of information, as you all know. And so I'm trying to reach out to them because we need to be together. And there's so much, what do you want to call it? Propaganda, for a mild term, calling us terrorists. And in my article, I made a point of, hey, we've always been called terrorists, and environmentalists are called terrorists, peace activists have been called terrorists, and now the truckers are called terrorists. And so we have a lot in common with them. And there they are doing what Gandhi would do if he was a truck driver. They're going to the source to say, look, all we want is for you to stop the mandate so we can cross the border between Canada and the U.S. without having to be forced to get the shot. That's all they're asking. And I believe I heard that somewhere around 80% of the truckers already have had the shot. So it's, and they are there, and they're there in support of the truckers who would choose not to get it. So, I mean, it's a massive show of support. 60,000 truckers was the last count I saw. And the first link in my article is a fun one if you click on it, because it shows this rock and roll guy singing Keep on Truckin' for a Free World. And it shows not just the musician, but it flashes black back and forth between him and the truckers going down the road by the hundreds, and then people up on bridges with signs saying thank you and freedom, and then people along the sides of the road with signs and thanking the truckers, and the truckers honking back, and the truckers with huge banners on them for freedom. And I mean, it just gives me chills whenever I look at it and just go, wow, you know, that's the kind of life we live all the time, is freedom for animals. And that energy in us all the time, that passion. And so to see them in these huge trucks with these huge signs, you're just going, oh my gosh, I'm with you all the way. And at the end of my article, I say, we have always said animal liberation is human liberation. And I said, it's never been more true than it is right now. So I hope some people, some vegans, will see it and maybe go, you know, maybe I need to think about this a little bit more, because we don't need a division in our movement. We need to be together, and there's too much in the mainstream media trying to tear us apart, which of course is the tactic of a totalitarian regime, is divide and conquer. And so our greatest asset is going to be to bring ourselves together and stand together. So that's what that article's about. And if you're on my Facebook, you can see it there, and please share it. And if you get, or you can go to All Creatures and sign up for the newsletter if you don't already get it. So anyway, that's a little snapshot of it. Thanks, Will, for letting me talk about it.
Great. Yeah, I just read it. Yeah,
you wrote it a couple of days ago, and I just read it actually today. And I think, you know, this is it's a touchy subject in a way. You know, if everybody has a different take on all of this, what what are these? Like we're here in Florida, and there's some people down here from Canada. And what, you know, when I hear they're from Canada, I say, oh, great, you're from Canada. We love you Canadians. We love you, especially love the truckers, you know. And sometimes they go, oh, I don't know about those truckers. Come on, like, what do you mean? And other ones say, yeah, I know, it's great. But they say, usually they say, well, the truckers are just a small minority of Canadians. Most Canadians are not like that. Not like, you know, most Canadians are much more, you know, they don't get up and stand up for things. And but I think I say to them, look, we have to really thank these people for standing up to tyranny. And not only are they doing that in Canada, but they're inspiring it all over the world. And it was so interesting to see that in Australia, coming into Canberra, the capital of Canberra, they had, I don't know if you saw some of the videos, but there was drone footage. They think there's probably close to 1 million people, and some counts even more, 1.5 to 2, up to even, some people even say 3 million people. And they say that they were inspired by the Canadians to do the same thing in Australia. I mean, Canada and Australia, in a way, are two countries that have, for some reason, just fallen very severely to fascism during this whole thing, more obviously, I guess, in other countries. And to see the people really standing up, and some people say, well, what good does it do? I mean, all they do is they get together, but, you know, the government's going to do what they're going to do anyway. Nobody can stop it. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think the thing that is most the biggest goal, I guess, the thing that's most desired by this tiny elite that views human beings as livestock, is that we stay isolated and disconnected, and that we don't connect like this. We don't support each other. So when you have people connecting like that and sharing email addresses and talking to each other and creating a movement, I mean, that's unstoppable, ultimately. That is absolutely unstoppable, because as the old poem goes, I think it was one of the famous British poets, "We are many, they are few," that line is a very important line. And so I think this is very much a vegan issue. I've decided I'm not going to hold back about it. It's very much a vegan issue, because human beings are also animals, and if we don't have freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion, and all these freedoms, we have no vegan movement to help the animals. We can't talk. We can't assemble. And we see it how veg fests have been, and everything's been shut down so much. So the thing that I think is really important, though, to keep in mind in this whole thing is the butterfly effect. You all know what the butterfly effect is? You've probably heard of that, right? It's, some biologist years ago said everything is so interconnected that if a butterfly flaps her wings in Brazil, it could change the climate enough to change the weather up in Canada or something like that. Like everything is interconnected. So some little thing somewhere can have a big impact. And I think that's very important to remember. Madeline and I were talking about this last night. I was saying, it's like sometimes we go to a store and everybody's wearing a mask and, we just don't wear one. I've still never worn a mask. And it might seem like nothing, like no big thing, like nothing changed. I just went in, didn't wear a mask, and so what? But it planted a seed, right? It was something. It was a little butterfly moment. So, and we can all do that. We can all be little butterflies. And when you have, one butterfly, don't ever discount one butterfly, right? Just doing something, whatever it is, anything, somewhere, then we can be co-creators and contribute to a gigantic movement. I think that's really what's happened. And we see this movement just exploding, and tyranny is it is being challenged, and I think that that's a beautiful thing, because in England, they finally, as you know, have actually stopped the vaccine passports, basically, and that's happened in Sweden. It just happened in Switzerland, I think Netherlands, Belgium, some other countries, Denmark, and so we see it happening, I think, in some more states. I just saw it today, Virginia. Did you see that? Virginia just passed a law, and the governor signed it, making it a law that no school board in the entire state of Virginia can ever mandate children wearing masks. It's over in Virginia. They can never force kids to wear masks. I mean, that is a huge victory. Masks are absolutely the most horrible thing for adults, but also for children. And, I've talked about it, how the IQ tests that they always do every year for decades, the average IQ for 1 and 2 year old little kids when they do these IQ tests is about 100. And now this past year when they did it after COVID masking, the average IQ of children, little kids, 1 and 2 year old kids, it dropped from 100 down to 78, right? It's a much lower intelligence because, it's obviously the masking. I mean, the kids can't read. They don't know what your expression is. You can't see the mouth moving. You don't know if they're smiling. You can't learn a language. You can't do anything. I mean, it's a direct assault on humanity. It's a direct assault on our spirit. When you think about how satanic to force anyone to wear a mask. It's such a satanic thing. It's blocking the spirit, our breath, right? I said earlier, spirit is breath, right? So you're blocking the spirit. You're shutting down the spirit. You're shutting down the ability of a human being to smile, to communicate, to express themselves, to be an individual, to speak. There's nothing, masks represent the hiding of the individual. It's the ultimate spiritual symbol. the Antichrist, essentially. It's the ultimate spiritual symbol of Satan, of a satanic ritual. And that's what you have. When you have satanic rituals, that's what they're always doing. They're always wearing masks. Because it's covering up the true nature, the true being, the true faith. You know, Zen, I'm a Zen monk, right? The main idea in Zen is, show me your true face. That's it. That's the number one Zen koan. What is your original face? What they mean is your true nature. But if you can't even show your face, that's like blocking you from even getting onto the path that leads to the path. I mean, it's just shutting everybody down. It leads directly to vaccinating people. And these vaccines are the most toxic, violent, horrific vaccines in the history of the world by far. I mean, there's never been any vaccine that have killed and maimed so many people so quickly than these. And yet the CDC is covering it all up and acting like, oh, this is a great thing. You know, you have, what is it, over 30,000 deaths now, according to VAERS. I mean, this is, and I don't know what it is in terms of injuries. It's hundreds of thousands. And the estimate is it's only 1 in 20, very conservatively, are reported. Somebody else says 1 in 40. But so we're talking about close to 1 million people being killed by these vaccines already. So this is really so serious, and we see the insurance companies are already saying, my gosh, they've never seen so many deaths among young people and people under 60. It's unprecedented. It's absolutely, according to statistically, it's unprecedented. It's not a 1 in 500 years. It's 1 in like 5 million years. It's never happened that so many people would die so quickly. It's just completely unprecedented. And the mainstream media is covering everything up. Everything is covered up completely because the mainstream media, as you know, is brought to you by Pfizer. It's brought to you by Big Pharma. It's brought to you. So, and the thing is, as vegans, we've been questioning Pfizer and big media forever. And why would we not question them now? Especially when we're the livestock and we're the one, and they're culling the herd and we're the herd, right? I mean, they're going after, especially, well, they go after people who don't know any better and just get vaccinated. They're dying and getting, I mean, the rate of myocarditis and the rate of micro blood clots, the rate of neuropathy, I mean, these are skyrocketing. So many other things. I mean, people are really getting horribly harmed by these vaccines. And now they're telling people they have to take boosters, two or three or four boosters every year, vaccines every year. You know, not only are they raking in the money, and they use the money to control the narrative and to buy off the CDC. It's already bought off, but to buy it off even more. And all the academia is totally bought out. I saw it happening 40 years ago when I was getting my PhD at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten much worse since then. So academia is bought out, the media is bought out, the government's bought out, at every level, county, state, federal. You have enough money, you can buy everybody, and that's what they've done. So it takes workers like the truckers and other people like vegans who have practiced, right? We're supposed to have practiced questioning official narratives. If we haven't practiced questioning official narratives, we'll go right along with it. But if we've been practicing questioning official narratives, we should be questioning this, because this is a great war against humanity that we will be destroyed. I mean, just the same way cows were destroyed, right? They're not destroyed. They're just imprisoned for the last 10,000 years or 8,000 years. And it's not been a good 8,000 years for cows. It's not been a good 8,000 years for sheep or goats or pigs or chickens. It's been a pretty bad 8,000 years if you were them. That could happen to us if we don't wake up and resist what's happening. So anyway, I think I'm really grateful that we see this awakening happening. Like I'm a Swiss citizen. You know, Madeline's Swiss, so I'm Swiss. So it was really great to see that our friends in Switzerland just told us it's over in Switzerland. It's over. It's done. No more mandates. No more anything. The problem is, the elite is not finished. They're not going to give up. So there'll be another, there's another pandemic, I'm sure, right around the corner. And they'll do the same thing. So we better, you know, we better get even stronger. That's why I loved it being here. You know, you go shopping and there's like 100 people and they're having a big meeting and they're talking about taking back the government, you know, right here in Naples. I mean, that's so cool. I mean, that never happened before. That's because people are being forced to realize that they're being lied to and they're being imprisoned. And we have been all along. We just didn't realize it. Now it's getting so obvious, we can maybe wake up and jump out, like Judy said, we can jump out of the water before it boils us, in the old frog analogy. So anyway, thanks. Judy, does anyone have any questions? Oh, yeah, here's a hand. Moshe, yeah. Go ahead and unmute. Do you know how to unmute?
I'm unmuted.
Oh, you are unmuted. Okay, great. Yes, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just started your facilitator training program today.
Wow.
My partner, Deanna, and I. She's right here with me, but she's off camera.
Okay.
She worked in our organic garden all day, and she's a little bit tired.
Great.
Say hi, Deanna.
Hi. I think my face in there.
It's okay. Yeah, it's wonderful to have you with us. Thanks. Hi there. All right.
So I love being a part of this group. We have been vegans for decades, and yet we still got caught in the scam of butter and what else?
Butter and cheese.
And cheese.
Oh, yeah.
That they were raised with grass-fed cows, and for some reason, we lost our way on that. Bought some butter, bought some cheese, without ever thinking that even if they were raised with the kindest of environments and the kindest of intentions, it's still exploitation. It's still exploitation. And it's like, oh my God. How do we get rooked into that? I don't know, but dumb. And
wonderful.
We're just so thankful. You see, being vegan so long, we practice a spiritual meditation program of listening inwardly for the sound current, the voice of God, so forth, and staying connected to that. But I have to say, well, your presentation of veganism has just opened a whole new vista of what veganism means and what it is and what it entails. And we want to share that with the community, and that's why we are on your facilitator program. And I'm really excited about that, but I have to admit, this thing with the truckers, I just watched the YouTube, I guess it was earlier today, and it was a shot of these vicious-looking policemen. They have been ordered to arrest these guys, and they were just like animals waiting to pounce on these truckers. And I heard that half of them had just, you know, they've taken away their funding. They're going to take away their licenses. They're going to freeze their accounts. And it's like, oh, they have the power to do that. But why do they have the power to do that? It's because they're not vegans. I was like, how do they get away with this? This is tyranny, first class, blatant, but probably none of those truckers are vegans, and probably most of Canada is not vegan. I don't know, do you know what the percentage of Canadians are that are vegan? Any idea?
I think it's growing, you know, but it's still a relatively small percentage. I think it's similar to the United States, maybe, you know, 2-3%, something like that. Yeah.
Not enough, really, to get the good karma rolling. I guess I have to look at it like that, because it really saddened me that you can see these police officers were just like wild animals waiting to pounce on prey, you know, and it's like, oh, that's everything that you've been saying. What we do to animals, guess what? You get it back. And I love these truckers. I love their spirit. I love their stick-to-itivism and their peacefulness, their goodness, their good-heartedness. But somehow, the karma's not working for them. And I can see now that everything is going to boil down to how we treat animals. Like in that section in your book, as you sow, so shall you reap, and you went through it. Item by item by item by item. What we did to them, voila, we get it done to us. So, I don't know what I wanted to say about that, except that just kind of, as excited as I am about being a part of this group, if our next door neighbor has shown their colors, which they always were, just an outright totalitarian dictatorship, that's what's going to happen here. Biden is nothing but a pawn in the hands of the rich, the WEF, I think they're called. And they own most of the politicians. They own the banks. They own most of the stock market. And it's like, we're at the same consciousness as the truckers. We want our freedom. And yet, look what happened to them. Are they going to allow us a voice when the United States shows its true colors and we become a totalitarian outright? Right now, it's kind of like, yeah, we are a totalitarian state, but they're still kind of like playing like, well, you still have some freedom. What do you think? Are we going to have a voice as vegans? What do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Moshe. Yeah, that's a great summary and great questions, really. And you hit the nail right on the head. I think, you know, I've been warning about this for decades. If people here have heard me say, if we're going to insist on forced medicating animals, we're going to find ourselves getting forced medicated. And if we're going to insist on oppressing them and tracking them and like they're just objects and so forth, we're going to find ourselves tracked and oppressed and so forth. So ultimately, the only way to really solve this issue of freedom and tyranny is for us to liberate animals. Like Judy said, animal liberation ultimately is the only path to human liberation. And there's so many people, of course, who are our brothers and sisters in the movement for human freedom, like you say, like the truckers and the people that support them in Canada and the United States. But they're still going to the restaurant and buying pork chops and cheese and butter and paying for other animals to be enslaved and then saying, well, we want our freedom. And yet they're enslaving other beings. And so that goes completely against the universal principles that underlie everything. So if we are really actually serious about wanting to have liberation for ourselves, which I'm sure we are, then we're called to liberate these animals and also to help, you know, in a loving way to share this message with the other people on, you know, in the health freedom movement. And encourage them to go vegan, to encourage them, we don't have to say vegan, but just encourage them to liberate animals. I think that's an even more important way to say it. I mean, as soon as I say the word vegan, sometimes people say, well, I don't like vegans or whatever. But just say, let's liberate animals. Let's liberate them. You know, we can eat rice and beans and corn and potatoes and sweet potatoes and vegetables and fruits and nuts and grains and seeds and we can feed everybody, and we can let the animals live their lives. We can let them live their lives. I mean, how great? Why? Why not? Why not? Why not just try it? Why not? I mean, because if I say, well, no, I mean, I really love the taste of bacon. I really can't give that up. I mean, how is that different from the Rothschild saying, well, I really love being able to dominate and exploit the earth? You know, it's, you know, we say, well, we don't like that because you're hurting us. Well, the pigs don't like it either, right? I mean, we have to be able to do that basic thing that human beings can do, which is to feel empathy. To feel empathy for the suffering of others, especially the suffering we're causing others. So this is the big challenge. And from my point of view, I see it not so much as blaming anyone for not being vegan and criticizing them for that, but looking at it more in terms of being wounded or hurt. You know, we're born into a culture where from the time we're little infants, our very own mother and our very own father and our very own minister, teacher, neighbors, relatives, everybody was exemplifying and just searing it into our soul that we eat these food, we eat meat, dairy, and we eat chickens and pigs and cows, we eat those foods, and that's how we get our protein, that's how we get healthy. And so that indoctrination gets in there right in early infancy, and it's pretty deep. It's so deep that it's tough. Even when people understand it rationally, there's some kind of a knee-jerk reaction where they just don't want to change, and they're afraid to be different from the rest of the tribe. You know, it's this tribal thing. So I think, you know, we just got to keep presenting it. Just keep presenting it. Presenting the idea, and I'm doing more and more radio interviews, TV, I mean, internet interviews, writing articles. I'm actually working on a book that's going to hopefully bring this out too. And I think, you know, like every one of us can somehow share this message that freedom for humans and our basic human rights are being taken away because we're taking them away from animals. I mean, that's the basic thing. And when we awaken out of that cultural trance of domination and exploitation of other beings and being dominated and exploited and actually live the way the great founders of religions like Jesus and the Buddha, these great enlightened people, they were pointing in that same direction, I think. And that's the golden rule, right? The golden rule is really it. Don't do to others what you wouldn't want to have done to yourself. And that others means all sentient beings. And so thank you, Moshe. I think you've painted the picture very well. And we have, you know, an unprecedented opportunity, as Judy was saying. I mean, now the pain is getting so intense, it's getting so obvious, it's like they're masking our children and they're coming right after us with these hypodermic needles filled with deadly, toxic, horrible stuff. You know, what are you going to do now? Like, come on, you know, if you don't wake up now, you're never going to wake up. And I've been disappointed to see, even in the face of that, so many of my fellow citizens just don't wake up. All right. But anyway, but more are. And I think, you know, the best thing we can do is to try to encourage those who are by our example. And like Robert Kennedy Jr. keeps saying, just don't comply. Don't comply with anything. And that's what these truckers are doing. And bless their hearts. I mean, they're very courageous. They're having their money stolen. I mean, the government is stealing money right out of their accounts. GoFundMe, which we now call GoFraudMe, you know, GoFraudMe stole all their money. I mean, incredible. They just stole it. And now the banks are stealing it. It's actually happening. There's actually these people are, anyone who's affiliated with the truckers is having their accounts frozen and their money, you know, and they could, yeah, very well could be arrested, thrown in jail. I mean, but this is the thing, you know, this is not the first time this has happened, you know, and like you said and Judy said, Mahatma Gandhi was thrown in jail many times. I mean, Gandhi said over and over again, for what it's worth, you need to be afraid to die for the cause. That's what he said. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. He said, you got to be willing to just put your life on the line. And it's very admirable because what I've seen from these truckers, that's what they're saying. They're saying, we're in this, we're going to, you know, this is the hill we're going to die on. We are not going to just cower and say, oh, all right, okay, I don't want to go to jail, okay, I'll go back home, I put my tail between my legs. They're not going to do that, and a lot of them are not going to do that. And there's a whole, there's a whole new convoy starting in California going all the way to Washington. So we could see the same thing happening here, and, you know, this could really be it. And the thing is, I think we don't realize the stakes are really high here with Canada, because Trudeau is hand-picked and hand-trained by Klaus Schwab. The World Economic Forum has this program, it's called the Young Leaders Program, and pretty much everybody, you know, like not only Trudeau, but also Gavin Newsom and Macron in France and Merkel in Germany and the woman in, whatever her name is, in New Zealand. A lot of these people, the real tyrants, they all went through this training. And so for the last 40 years, the World Economic Forum has been subverting democracy by training these people and then using the money and power that they have to put these people into top positions, into prime ministerships and premierships and so forth all over the world. And these people are completely part of the cabal. They've been, I don't know what kind of, whatever they went through in terms of satanic rituals or whatever, but they're willing to completely sell out humanity. And they have not been, you know, the democratic process, that's the thing you have to understand, is that the cabal loves democracy because it gives the illusion that we're choosing our leaders. You know, when they control the counting of the votes and they control the funding of the elections, they control everything, then we think we're voting and we're not. And there's really only one party in the United States. I mean, Chris Hedges just wrote an article. Did you read the article by Chris Hedges? He just wrote an article. He said, well, it's always been a one-party system in the United States. It has these two heads, right, the Democrat and the Republican. He said the Democrat Party has now become the most effective evil. It's the most effective evil. The Democratic Party is very effective because so-called liberals, like I was all those decades, I would never vote Republican. I was only a Democrat, you know, of course, because I cared about workers, I cared about the environment, I cared about animals. Well, now it's completely switched, and the Democrats are the ones who are destroying the workers and the animals and the environment and everything. I mean, it's completely switched over, and so now we're in this situation where they've been bought out. I mean, both of the parties have been bought out. So I think we have to just understand that, you know, and realize that it's time for us to do the best we can to be a voice for positive change, to spread the vegan message, and there are candidates that will emerge that are better than others, and to vote for those, and to try to make sure the elections are not being stolen, right? I mean, we have to have accountability. But it has to start at the grassroots level, and maybe the whole system has to collapse first. I really don't know how it's all going to play out. But I think what you're saying, Moshe, and what you're saying, Judy, is these are the two keys. You know, we need to go vegan as a society and keep spreading that message, because if it stays at 2 or 3 or 4%, and the 96-97% of the people are going to insist on enslaving animals, then we're going to be swept up in the same slavery, unfortunately, perhaps. I mean, unless we can have a Jedi kind of power where we just stay free and we create the new society, the vegans, you know, inherit the earth, and maybe that'll happen. We have to just stick to our principles, I think. So now it's 9:24 here in Florida. So we only have a couple of minutes left. Does anyone else want to say something? We really need to end this in about 4 minutes. Gosh, the time sure has flown by. I don't know how it happened. Anyone else want to share anything or say anything? We've got a few comments in the chat here. I see from Davi and other people. Oh, look at this. Lots of nice things here. I'll go ahead and I'll copy the chat and I'll send it out in the email I send to everybody afterwards so you don't lose it because it'll be copied here. But anyone else want to say something in closing? Otherwise, I can just wrap up with, I have a few things I do want to say too, but let me just say, please do look at the resources for February, and I spend a lot of time doing that every month, and there's a huge amount of information there, as you know, and if you just go through the, I'm just calling it up here so I can have a quick look, but it's basically, here we go, quite a few videos that I recorded, either, from the Real Truth About Health Conference that were recorded, and other ones. This one was Johanna Sophia. There's anyway a bunch of videos that I think are maybe interesting, and then a lot of articles. The first articles are all about vegan issues in general, and then after the asterisks, a little line of asterisks, then it's this is a great and just take time. The one right before the asterisks, there's a most beautiful video of a beluga whale up in the Arctic Ocean up there, right on the north, somewhere way up in the northern Atlantic, playing ball with some people on a ship. You know, they throw this ball out, and this wild beluga whale just dives down and gets the ball and brings it back, and they throw it again, and the beluga runs and gets it. I mean, this basic idea how animals love to play, and animals love us. I think that's the other message I really wanted to emphasize. I don't have time now, but just the message that human beings are beautiful, and this whole idea in the vegan movement among some vegans I think is really toxic, which is that somehow we humans are ugly and nasty and terrible. No, we're not. We're beautiful, and we have a heart. We have hearts of gold, really. It's just we've all been born into a society of violence, and we've been perverted. It's like we've been sidetracked. But once we get back on track, animals know that. Animals love to play with us and be with us. So anyway, watch that video. It's really wonderful. And then there's a whole lot of great news. The ones that have an asterisk are some specially good articles, I think. But there's a huge amount here. I mean, it's like drinking from a fire hose, as they say. There's this new film, Terrain, by Andrew Kaufman, which kind of goes into the whole, we talk about that quite a bit here, the germ theory versus the terrain theory. There's a tremendous amount of, just an amazing amount of information. And so please look at the resources, you'll be busy for many weeks. I won't go into that. Like this thing, like embalmers are finding veins and arteries filled with these rubbery globs of looks like spaghetti. I mean, that's never happened in the history of ever. All right. So now my computer battery is running out here, so I need to really stop here. But
Dr. Toto, remind people who those of us who don't know about the grand jury hearing that Dr. Rainer Filmisch from Germany, the lawyer, is holding these international global grand jury on the corona investigation. So
yes.
Tomorrow is another session. So if you are wanting to really, I'll put in the chat the website. You can go and see
good
the link to live participate, just watch the hearing. Really fascinating to hear all the expert witnesses and evidence. I've been watching the past two weekends. You have the replay on that website too, so I highly recommend, invite all of you to.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, that Rainer Fulmich is a great Bodhisattva. He's really getting a huge amount of information, and I definitely recommend, if you have a chance to watch the Nuremberg 2 trials. So what we usually do to close is we have our prayer from the Circle of Compassion, and here comes Madeline. She's working her way. She's here. Oh, there she comes. Oh, she's trying there.
Hello.
Trying to scroll her way in here. So, all right. So let's go ahead and thank you all again so much for joining us on our monthly call. If you have any other questions or comments, feel free to write me, willpuddle@earthlink.net during the month. You can see we're getting lots of sun here. And let's say our prayer, we'll say it three times usually. I think we all know how it goes pretty much. Let's begin. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Great, feel free to unmute if you'd like. Okay, let's do it again.
Compassion encircles the earth, everywhere.
Okay, one more time with feeling.
Compassion encircles the earth, everywhere.
Alright, well done. Thank you, everyone. Much love to you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.